but he refused. Instead, he had the fellow servant put in prison until he paid back the whole debt. Now, when his fellow servants saw what had happened, they were deeply disturbed and went to their master and reported the whole affair. His master summoned him and said, "You wicked servant, I forgave you your entire debt because you begged me to. Should you not have had pity on your fellow servant as I had pity on you?" Then in his anger, his master handed him over to the torturers until he should pay back the whole debt. So will my heavenly Father do to you unless each of you forgives his brother from his heart. When Jesus finished these words, he left Galilee and went to the district of Judea across the Jordan. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
On Palm Sunday, 1212, St. Clare was in a church in which St. Francis spoke. She felt touched to the heart, and she resolved then, against family opposition, that she was going to live in the manner of the Holy Gospel. To live in the manner of the Holy Gospel is a summary of the Christian life. It's the summary of the type of life we're called to lead. And today in the Gospel, we see something very specific about the manner of that Holy Gospel. We cannot live in that manner unless we follow what Jesus says. "How many times must I forgive my brother when he sins against me, Lord?" Peter asks. And as we've talked about before, he thought he should get a badge if he was going to give his brother an eighth chance. Forgive him seven times. Which went way beyond what we think in our culture is legitimate. We'll give somebody a second chance in our culture in many circumstances. But don't push us for a third or a fourth or a fifth. Peter was far exceeding that. Jesus came back, said, "No, you need to give him a 78th chance. You need to forgive as I forgive. You need to forgive infinitely." That was a huge challenge, but that is the way of the Holy Gospel. Then Jesus gives a parable that I would love all of us to really grasp and live. The translation that we have doesn't actually give the figures Jesus used in his speech. But the first man who owed him a huge debt owed him 10,000 talents. As I've gone through the math with you before, a talent was one day's wage. And if we were talking about 10,000 talents, we begin to think about 10,000 days' wages. And it gets up to the equivalent of about $1 billion. If a person owes 100 denarii, which is the much smaller amount, if somebody's making 40 grand a year, that's about 13,000. The Lord has forgiven us the equivalent of $1 billion. We're $1 billion richer in his mercy. And we are called to go out and spend that money in forgiving others as lavishly as God has forgiven us. And if somebody owes us something serious, 13 grand, somebody's really hurt us, this isn't somebody against whom we've stubbed a toe or somebody who said that she didn't like our meatloaf. This is somebody who really hurt us. If we're not willing to be able to give that love to another, we're not capable of receiving the love. We pray every day in the Our Father, "Forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who have sinned against us." We need to be willing to forgive in order to be able to receive the Lord's lavish mercy. This is what it means to live in the manner of the Holy Gospel. Over the past few weeks, I've been meeting with several couples who are planning to get married in 2012. And the same thing happens. And in this case, straight, 100%, when that question comes up in the focus, if my future spouse ever is unfaithful to me, under no circumstances would I reconcile. Every single couple I've met in the last several weeks has had both, not just one, but both say, "I agree with that statement. If my future spouse is ever unfaithful to me, I will never be able to forgive, ever." And I have to explain to them, if they really mean that, then not even Pope Benedict can celebrate their wedding. Because if they go on in saying, I will never forgive, then they can't honestly say their vows. I will take my spouse and love and honor him for better or for worse. They're going in incapable of even attempting to forgive another. They can't make their vows. Their marriage would be null from the beginning. But we live in a culture in which we say, listen, I'll forgive you for that insult against my meatloaf. But if you really hurt me, that's my limit. I'm never going to forgive when you really hurt me. And I have been starting to say to these couples, I think one of the reasons why you're a little resistant is not just because you've been hurt and wounded and betrayed in the past. I think one of the reasons, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that you don't regularly receive the sacrament of confession. And every single one of them looked at me and said, well, that's true. Because if we regularly receive the sacrament of confession and regularly recognize that we have just been remitted another $1 billion, then we're able to integrate the hurt that others have given to us compared to the hurt we've done to the Lord. That's why the sacrament is so important. This is something that Saint Clare grasped. She, wanting to live in the manner of the Holy Gospel, wanted to live bathed in the Lord's mercy and to share that mercy with others. She and her poor clares around her prayed for the mercy of the Lord, prayed for people to come to receive it, prayed for people to come to share it. Pope John Paul II said, you know, when we think about the reform of the church, we can often think of that crucifix that spoke from San Damiano to St. Francis, saying, Francis, rebuild my church. And he first built that dilapidated chapel, and then he was God's instrument to help rebuild the church as a whole, built not out of marble, wood, bricks, and glass, but out of men, women, boys, and girls. But one of the principal ways he did that was through Clare and her nuns around her. They were the custodians of that cross of San Damiano. That became their convent. And that crucified Lord, whom she said bathed in blood, was more beautiful than the fairest of men, continued eloquently to speak to them, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And that's why she and her sisters around her always prayed for that mercy. It's on the cross that Yeshua Nazareth did something far greater than Yeshua, whom we translate as Joshua in today's first reading. Joshua with the Ark of the Covenant was able to stop the Jordan from coming down and essentially allowing the Israelites to cross into the Promised Land. On the cross, Yeshua stopped the downpour of justice by his mercy, so that we would be able one day to cross into the Promised Land. But the Jews still had to walk through that Jordan, the same way that we have to walk through baptism. We constantly have to re-enter into those living waters, which is what the fathers of the church say we do every time we go to the second baptism of the sacrament of confession. We share in that mercy. St. Clare used to not just look at Christ crucified and pray for mercy, but she would receive mercy incarnate in Holy Communion. Pope John Paul II called her a woman of the Eucharist. That was the way she was defined. She lived for the Eucharist. Up here in our church, we've got four great Eucharistic saints, but the one closest to us with a monstrance in her hand is St. Clare. That monstrance in the hand showed that she was constantly showing off Jesus. Came from a miracle when Frederick Redbeard, Frederick Barbarossa, had come to try to sack Assisi. And the Lord said, fear not, I will protect you. So she went to the window with Jesus in that little monstrance in her hand. And Frederick's troops that were trying to climb up into the monastery through the windows with ladders, they all fell back. They all got frightened, and they went away to another city. That was the power of the Eucharist for St. Clare, that we weren't coming to receive a consecrated piece of bread, but this was Jesus loving us in the midst of the world and giving us his body and blood precisely for the redemption of sins, the sins of the world. As we come forward, we ask her intercession that we might become passionate lovers of Christ crucified, that we might become men and women of the Eucharist, which we receive mercy and flesh, and that we might, like Claire before us, live according to the Holy Gospel, forgiving others as lavishly as the Lord has forgiven us first.